Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Rich Hudson.
Hello.
I'm Josh Brown.
Hello.
My chaps, Modern Warfare is out and it's deliciously, beautifully brilliant. So we thought we'd dedicate a whole podcast to all sorts of things about it. You might want to call it a codcast.
He actually remembered.
Thank you.
I forgot last time to call it a podcast.
Yes, but anyway, I've got a handful of different sort of topics to lean on because there is some controversy around it. There's some sort of backlash. There's all sorts of criticisms and stuff. But we've just mostly been having a lovely old time with it.
We have. Like you said before we broke up for the weekend, Scott, a cod-a-lay? Cod-a-lay? Like a holiday,
yeah.
But with cod in front. You definitely did.
I don't think that's a cod-a-lay.
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 Basically, there's an annual holiday that comes alongside Call of Duty where everyone's encouraged to just get a bunch of like snacks and energy drinks and donuts in my case.
I mean,
and just be fat as hell playing just as
all
much
of
the,
all of Amazon was screaming at me like, do you want to buy a box of Doritos with some double XP codes? Because
yeah.
here's 20 quid's worth of Doritos and double XP codes. It's like, wow.
It's like I've become everything I thought I hated, but to be honest, indulging in it once a year, pretty good.
I didn't have Doritos for my night. A pack of mini poppadoms.
It's tart. I was having Krispy Kremes and Doritos grab bags, but yeah, mini poppadoms.
I had mini poppadoms.
That's good. Anyway, so I thought we'd open on just general thoughts because we can delve into like a whole sorts of different things going forward. But you guys have been playing since Friday night, I think.
Yep.
Where are you on it overall, and have you had a lovely time?
Oh, it's much better than I thought it was going to be. I was quite hype in the run up to it. I enjoyed the beta enough, but then all like the backlash sort of set in and I was wondering where I would actually fall in it going forward, because every time a Call of Duty comes around you always hear the same things of this is the best one in years, it's really going to revolutionize the series, they're bringing in a bunch of new changes, and often that amounts to actually quite little when you get down to the nitty gritty of it. But for me, this was kind of both a throwback and a nice sort of entry in a new direction. Like the overhauled gunplay is so good. Like, just
stupid.
Getting a kill in this game is just so satisfying and tactile and weighty. The footsteps in this game, which we'll get to, are like lumbering around. You can't miss them. It's like Godzilla walking about. But I instantly clicked with it in a way I didn't expect to, because even though I have this Call of Duty holiday every single year, I sometimes, at least recently, fall off it the bandwagon quite quick. Black Ops 4, I remember really liking a launch and talking to
you
about
it. We had a lovely
Scott.
Launch weekend.
We did, but then I just stopped, and I'm hoping, even though I say this every year, I'm hoping that doesn't happen here, because there is enough there, both in the campaign, multiplayer, and I haven't tried Spec Ops yet, but there is enough there to hook me into it, and all the different modes, which we'll get to, are really tickling my pickle.
Very good. Rich, you're also a COD veteran. I think both of you guys play a lot more. I play every year, but you guys are way more hardcore on it than I think that I am.
Hardcore.
But Rich, you'd be the person I would go to as someone who I think plays the most Call of Duty out of all of us.
Yeah, I'm the same as Josh. I came out of the beta very, very excited. I didn't expect to like the beta just as much as I did, and thankfully going into it, upon launch, the multiplayer feels the exact same as it did in the beta, whereas for something like Black Ops 4, I love the beta of Black Ops 4, but I hate the game. I've uninstalled it. I've literally got rid of Black Ops 4. Yeah.
I like Black Ops 4.
There's a big zombies Treyarch fan. I've gotten rid of Black Ops 4. I'm done with that game. But no, coming back into Modern Warfare, I've gotten through the campaign. I did it in one sitting. It is a bit shorter than
I
wanted.
How long
to be.
Is it? Because both
I finished it in about 5 hours.
I would say like 3 or 4.
Really?
If you manage to mainline it, it's super solid. It's not that long. Mm-hmm. It is good, mind. It's not amazing. It didn't punch me in the gut as much as World War II did, because obviously they were saying this is really gritty and we're going to do this. And the points when I was meant to feel like hurt or concerned or sad. I just thought, wow, I just had an emotional bypass because all those beats that were like, right, this is gritty, this is gritty, this is gritty. I'm like, yep. No,
it's weird.
It's not like, working for me. Like,
we'll stay away from spoilers for the campaign. We might eventually do some sort of separate campaign breakdown or something. Yeah. But it's weird because I think that all the coverage pre-release has kind of done it a disservice. Like, it isn't this immaculately well-written, punchy, gritty, sort of visceral thing about the reality of like global conflict. Like, it picks and chooses from a handful of different things. It's all fictionalized. Like, my overall thing with the campaign is that I thought it was just like super messy. I think that a lot of the pre-release sort of hype around it kind of made it feel like it was going to be this like super weighty, incredibly focused, like nuanced thing. And even 4 or 5 missions in, I remember messaging you, Rich, and I just said I thought it was a complete mess. I was like, who the hell are the villains? What do you want me to think? And I just couldn't really get any of it. But I think I was putting too much weight on it because of what I expected it to be.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until about the halfway mark where you get a 20 years ago flashback that really recontextualized some stuff. And it was only at the very end where I look back on the whole thing and I was like, okay, actually I get like for the most part what you were going for.
Yeah.
But it is quite messy.
But it wasn't like the sort of misleading, like subverting expectation to something like Black Ops, which was okay, what on earth is going on? Then suddenly you have the revelations twist about what was happening with like Reznov, and then it was suddenly, oh, now everything's falling into place. This is more just like, yeah, they couldn't find their feet until halfway through the campaign.
I
think that's a trope with the Modern Warfare trilogy, the original ones. It's just that it's not as nailed down as I'd like it to be. Mm-hmm. That's why I always cite back to Black Ops. That's why I cite World War II. Like, it felt nailed down within its own little world, and you had your own little team, your own little narrative to play with. This just feels like, okay, it's on a global scale, but also not on a global scale. It feels almost like covert because so much of it takes place on the down low. In the grand scheme of the world, whereas like Modern Warfare 3 is outright, look, it's World War 3.
So
it does kind of lose its pace a little bit. The villain, as you said, is a kind of a bit like, who is the villain?
I thought was the point, but then it's kind of not.
Yeah, it's a bit of an interesting one. It's definitely made me excited for a sequel because I love the characters. New Price is amazing.
Price is brilliant. He gets some of the best dialogue in the whole thing. We'll move on to multiplayer stuff, but like, in terms of the campaign, I think it's solid enough. It's recommendable.
Again, I always go into these thinking I just want to have a couple of hours of killing stuff in a narrative sense because why not? Like I said, I really didn't realize how much I missed it last year with Blops 4 getting rid of it. Mm-hmm. I just wanted that bit of fun, and it was. Mm-hmm. But it did finish a lot earlier than I hoped it would.
It's weird. Yeah.
I wanted it to finish another act later.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's like a Kotaku Anonymous deep dive into the reality of making this campaign in such a short amount of time. And if that is something where they've, because a lot of the maps are reused for multiplayer as well. And it's
there are certain bits, one of the, because we'll talk about Spec Ops in a bit, but it's like split into two. You've got your new version of Spec Ops, which is the big open world thing they were playing out in the trailers. And then you've got the classic Spec Ops. And literally the first level of that is just one part of the campaign just lifted up and just plopped into Spec Ops. Mm-hmm. And it's like, right, okay.
Yeah, which is kind of like a feeling, like I said, like in a bunch of different levels, you can kind of see where they reuse stuff and they've like bolted the cutscenes.
I mean, you know, that's always the case in COD games. There's never any completely original maps aside from DLC maps, at least in the launch game. But yeah, there are parts of this that think, okay, they had this rough, like, here's our main bulk of stuff, let's just make everything from that. But the spin on that is that I see with Modern Warfare is it's less of it in reality, but it's also more refined, I feel. Mm-hmm. It's not like the most perfect Call of Duty, trust me, we'll get to things like that, but I do feel like they went for quality over quantity, and I think they did manage to nail that this time.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll might as well pivot into the vast majority of this can just be on like multiplayer thoughts and maps and everything else, because that's the thing that we've definitely played the most of, I guess by proxy, because the campaign is so short. But in terms of like new gameplay stuff, you've got like the sliding, the mounting, the weapons, aiming while reloading or whatever. What did you guys think of the change in the general pace of play? Because I'll say that it took me about sort of 4-ish levels. I think you unlock the M4 at about level 6, and that's when the multiplayer really started to click for me, because I kind of thought that the starting weapons were a bit naff, and I just like I couldn't find that balance between like the run and gun and the wait it out sort of thing. And obviously, like, a lot of the controversy around the way that you play is centering on people camping all the time. Like, a lot of people think that a lot of the new abilities encourage camping, because you can't sort of just run and gun anymore. Like, you need to kind of hang back a bit. And for me, I'd found, like I said, after about level 6, it really started to click, and I just love the pace of it. I actually kind of got into a zone where I'm advancing constantly, but I'm not running into everything. It does let you do that if you want. Like, you can slide into battle and kill someone as you're sliding around a corner or whatever, or you can just hang back and mount the corners and stuff like that. What do you guys think in terms of all the new stuff?
Yeah, it's kind of where I'm at on it, because when I was, you know, playing the beta and stuff before launch, I was kind of worried that they were trying to do this really slow, almost Rainbow Six Siege inspired, combat style, but it's not like that. I don't think it's very classically COD, but not COD in the way where you're just sort of sprinting around. Because to me, when I was playing stuff like Infinite Warfare, the focus on that was just sprinting, you know, whipping out your aim down sights as fast as possible and killing the other person. Whereas this, it is, it's not necessarily slower because you're still engaging with people quite often, but it's weightier. It is a sort of, you have to be more methodical in your planning, your aiming, and you have to actually, you know, take your time. If you are just sprinting around, you're going to get shot either in the face or from behind. It just doesn't work. So it's not necessarily that for me that like the pace is slowed. It's just that your movement is slowed, which kind of sounds like a weird discrepancy.
The TDK thing, like that seems to be something that's being held up as like a, you know, like a negative. But like for me, I love the fact that there's, you actually have time to read an opponent and like, you know, fire back, like crouch, go prone, whatever, like fire something back and have an altercation, as opposed to, like I said, like Black Ops 3 and Infinite Warfare, like you looked at someone and you were dead. Like it was, everyone had the quick scope mods or quick draw mods, and it was like, how fast can you hit like L2, R2 or aim and shoot? And that for me was really off-putting.
Yeah.
How have you found it?
I've really liked it. Yeah. I mean, you know, one of the big praises I have for Blops 4 was the TDK being a lot slower. Give you more time in battle. And I think they managed to hit a sweet spot between the two, because when I went back to Black Ops 4 multiplayer, very rarely, I did feel like it felt too slow eventually. Right. So I think they've hit a middle ground perfectly. But the thing that, I mean, I'm very much used to sliding around. Mm-hmm. I've been used to that since Blops 3, which was obviously replaced the dolphin diving, which I now don't like.
When I say sliding, I mean in this kind of context. Like they haven't done like a Modern Warfare one where you can slide. It's always been like a future...
In like the sliding mechanic and the movement, that's, you know, it's very similar to what Blops 3 and 4 had, I'm assuming Infinite Warfare 2. But the thing that's really gotten me is the mounting. Right. I did not realize how much I would end up using it and how useful it really is. The thing about it is, I don't know what it is like to be against people who use it, because I don't think I've seen many other players actually do mounting in this game, because there's so many surfaces you can actually do it on.
I don't think that many people know how to do it,
which, like, is interesting. Yeah, because I mean, I don't know what it is mapped to for you guys on the controller.
It's melee, like you just aim and click the right stick.
Interesting, because I mean, I did have to remap mine on my PC to a different key, but I've now gotten used to hitting that when I'm going around a corner, so I can sit against a wall and I can scope down a sight. The only thing is, it almost feels like head glitching, which is still a thing.
Yeah,
right.
I hate the fact that head glitching is still a thing. There's a certain point on one of the maps where there's just, I can't remember which one it is. It's got like a big road around the outside of it. There's like lots of apartment blocks. And there's a point where there's like a double door and there's like a flower bed almost. And people just sit against that and look through the door and head glitch from there, which is a bit of a pain. But yeah, mounting and stuff I've used so much. And it's so useful when I'm running down a corner to think, okay, I can actually like almost poke my head around this corridor before I run down it in order to, until I find some guy at the other end. Like I have the time to react and actually double check that point.
Yeah, yeah.
And also when you are mounting, your recoil is like minimal.
Yeah.
So if you are like at a point where you can tell that people are coming on this corner, I can just sit there and be like, yep, here they come.
Yeah.
Just two people down.
I think they've got a nice balance for it, because when you see something like mounting, you might just assume that someone's going to sit at the back of the map, you know, peek the head around a corner and just, you know, use that sort of lane as their sight lines to mow everyone down. But the way the maps are designed, you can't sort of camp. At least people are complaining about camping, and there are sort of buildings where you can just sort of hunker down, but there are so many entryways and so many ways to get killed that I don't think you can stay in one place for too long. You can sort of hunker down for a couple of seconds to get like the lay of the land or get someone who's coming down, but if you stayed there for a minute or 30 seconds,
someone will find you
and come around your flank and you know, take you out.
That's the thing, that the map design is another thing that's been criticized, because they've finally started to be more flexible on the three-lane formula. As much as we know that kind of works, it does get kind of boring, and it makes the maps very, very similar. But yeah, I've had, the only problems with campers I have been area camping, building camping, not specific spots. And even then, like when we were playing last night, there was one dude who was just sitting on a stairwell with a shotgun. Easy peasy, got him. Because it's like, you're just staying in the same spot. People have managed to move past that point. But area camping, it's still very annoying.
Don't get me wrong. I guess it's like, it's at some point, like camping is just a reality of like online play.
It's Call of Duty. People are going to camp.
And I think like, it's just, but like you were saying, it's become this like focal point, and it's like, I don't think that, I don't see that as a valid criticism. Like I get, I get the, like I said, the proliferation of the fact that people want to camp to some degree, but like I don't think it's like, it's like you said, you can always get the flank, you can always get the drop on someone, and I haven't found it to be like a massive issue.
Yeah, like it's just weird because I feel like, you know, people who've been playing Call of Duty religiously for the past few years and been in these faster paced environments, now that they're having to sort of slow their movement down and be more considered because the time to kill is so, you know, short and limited, that you do need to be considered. You need to, you know, not rush from point to point. You might have to take your time to get through a building, and you might get a couple of kills in there. You might like end up accidentally camping when you're just sort of slowly moving your way through. It's not sort of, it's not the same kind of camping, I don't feel. At least I've not encountered this yet, where you're just sort of in a corner and you're just getting killed.
You just wait for people to come through a door.
And it is that change of pace that was the thing that I really had to get used to, because I'm very much a, like, my favorite first person shooter is Titanfall 2, and it's like and Halo, and I love those games that like it's constant engagement. You're always running in and fighting and ducking and sliding and doing whatever. So like for me, I always play Call of Duty that way, and you kind of can't play this one that way. If you're running and gunning, like you said, the amount of angles that are descending on you at once, you're just going to get taken out. So you do need to be more considerate. And once that started to click, I found the whole thing just made so much more sense. And they do walk that line between, you know, they're borrowing, like, we'll talk about Ground War, like, you know, they've borrowed like the open, like massive map stuff from Battlefield. You've got the mounted cover and the more tactical angles game of Rainbow Six Siege. Like they've kind of, they're bringing stuff in from the competition, but enough that still retains the core Call of Duty feel, or at least we would
say. It. And I love those maps. You mentioned there, Rich, that they've moved away from the sort of three-lane design. And that's what really put me off the last couple of Call of Duties. When I was playing these different maps, even though they might have been visually interesting, it was never dynamic. I felt like I was dying the same way every single time. Totally. I was going down the same routes every single time.
Yeah.
And these aren't sort of, you know, suddenly elaborate or big, but there's enough variety to them. There's enough verticality to them that I'm not just sort of taking the same routes and, you know, doing the same thing every map. So there are different segments that are in use for the most part. There are some bad ones, which I'll get to, that funnel
you down Josh Brown?
Specific parts. There is one in particular, Scott, that I'm going to get to. But like the map that we were just talking about there, like there are so many different buildings you can go in, which, you know, encourage their own mini little engagements.
Do you mean the Azir Cave one?
No, but that is a really good one. Yeah, that was the one.
With the trams on it.
The one with the trams. But the cave one, for instance, that is awesome, because in a game, you know, in a Black Ops 4 or something, if you had the inside the cave and outside the cave, they would just be this straight three-lane thing. Yes. You'd have the sort of intersection in the middle, but there is so much kind of density to each of the maps and the way this weaves in and out. It's not just, you know, two teams walking down either side, then restarting because the spawns have swapped, then going back. It's a weird interplay of these different sight lines combined with the interconnectivity of it. Like I love in that cave map where even though you're fighting, you know, trying to get from one end to the other, there is so many sort of ways you could get like blindsided. You have to be constantly aware of it. And it's a lot. It's finally got to a point again where I'm really wanting to learn the intricacies of like each map and know where a team might be at a certain time or what I have to look out for and kind of like dominate an area, which might translate to camping, but I don't think it
is. No, I mean, I had that feeling when I was playing on Azir like last night, because it was just like, I'd lucky enough to do a nice little kill streak or whatever, and I was like, I just popped the UAV and I was like, I'm gonna go hunting, I'm gonna go into the Azir cave, and you get used to where people are gonna be, and just after a while, like, like whether they're new players or whatever, like you do get used to how to move through that map with confidence, and you can sort of like pick off people coming in, and it makes sense that they would come in through certain bits that you get used to or whatever. Yeah, it's weird because like obviously they've kind of like experimented so much with doing away with the three lane thing. I love the new map system, or the new maps in general, and like again, it's controversial, but I think it just gives it a breath of fresh air. Like I want to apply these new gameplay systems to a more open-ended feel.
Yeah, I find the maps more memorable. I find it easier to learn a map when it is more unique, because there's the amount of times you think, okay, I'm going this way, and then you realize, wait, no, I'm in the wrong lane. I've got it pictured all wrong. Whereas you've got very specific, like almost like aesthetics to look for when you're running about the certain maps, like the St. Petersburg, which we played. I think we played that most. Last night?
Yeah, last night.
We kept getting the same map over and over again, but it meant I was learning. Yeah, I was learning that map more and more and more, and I was sticking to like the left-hand side with all the buildings versus going along the long sight lines. But even then, they've removed the long sight lines, which helps so much in that process. I'm used to playing shooters with non, like, I don't say linear, but like the maps aren't based on three lanes, playing stuff like Team Fortress 2 and Half-Life 2 Deathmatch and stuff like that. Those maps are not based on any kind of system. They're based on what the design of the map would be or what the game mode would be.
Yeah.
So, you know, a three lane map in any other title would just seem... It just wouldn't work.
No.
I just think it facilitates like those sort of mini kind of battles that make for great stories. When we were playing that map, even though we had it over and over again, like you said, Rich, when there was the guy camping on the stairs with the shotgun.
Because I know you got you a couple
he
times.
Got me
well,
a couple
he?
Times. My God, that shotgun has some range in it. But it became a sort of personal vendetta to hunt this guy down. But then that sort of building became a focal point for this sort of battle. The rest of the map might as well have not existed at that point, because I was just focused on getting in there and sort of throwing flashbangs up the stairs and trying to hunt him down. And anything that can sort of make me forget that I'm sort of in this kind of artificial space and in an actual place is like a bonus for me. The fact that I have that story, I don't have anything like that from Black Ops 4, no matter, even though I enjoyed that game, I don't have the same
well, there
sort
was
of
that map in Black Ops 4 that connection. Was just that, was it Chinatown? It was like that one big map, and there was one like destroyed roadway in the middle, and there was a couple of like sort of houses to the side or whatever. We ended up putting it at the bottom of the, when we ranked all
I
the Black Ops 4
maps. Like, wasn't it like Gridlock?
Maybe Gridlock, yeah.
Oh, sorry, yes, I do know which one you mean.
And
I
that just funneled everybody into one spot, and it was terrible. I think another thing in terms of the new way that the maps are laid out is that they've split them based on the mode. Like 2v2 maps are incredibly tight and small. You have the ground war ones that are absolutely massive. There's the 20 TDM or 20 domination maps that are like slightly bigger, and then the regular sized maps for everything else. I just love that because it lets them sort of specialize, play towards that mode over and over again. But yeah, I guess we talk about ground war in terms of like bringing across the battlefield type stuff. I don't like it that much because I'm not a fan. Just in general, like I said, I like to prioritize engagement. I don't like modes where you run for like 10 minutes, don't need to get shot up the bum and restart again. Whereas I think you've been playing that the most.
Scott Telford, I will say that is not the mode. I think this is way more immediate than you're giving it credit for. Okay. I have bloody loved Ground War. I'm not gonna lie to you. In the run-up to it, I knew it was this big sort of mode. I think it goes up to 100 players, not quite now, but that's the plan going forward. And I didn't really know what it was going to be. Had I known it was just going to be Battlefield Light, I'd have blown my socks off a few weeks ago, because I jumped into it just expecting a kind of bigger team deathmatch or whatever, and then was blown away by the sort of
some vehicles,
you know, there's some vehicles
else.
There's a lot of different spawn points. It really did feel like a more like a quicker Battlefield 3 or 4, which to me is a good thing. And there's a sense of verticality to it. You have those sort of like the city levels.
Camping?
From, no, you don't have camping, no. Scott, because there's too many places to go. There is the city one, I can't remember what it's called, but you can go up like a big skyscraper and stuff. Mm-hmm. And for me, I had so much fun. I threw on Overkill.
Tvorsk, I think.
I think it is, yes. And I had the M4 with the sort of the longer sight whilst I was running with a sniper rifle as well.
Nice.
It just felt so satisfying to run from point to point, because as much as I love team deathmatch and domination and stuff, I do feel like it kind of gets potentially samey with the objectives. Once I've played a few games of team deathmatch, I've kind of had my fill, whereas with Ground War, because there's the map's so big and you've got all those different objective points running, like no two games is ever the same. You don't have the destruction of Battlefield, but you get something in the immediacy of it. To me, that is the perfect distillation of like the two different kind of styles of Battlefield and Call of Duty into this epic sort of thing, because World War II flirted with it with the war mode, but that was nowhere near as big as this is.
It
hits all the best parts of kind of Battlefield and all the best parts of Call of Duty into this. It's kind of what Homefront did, which is weird. I know that sounds really bad to compare it to a game that nobody liked from 9 years ago or whatever, but it has that. It's if Homefront was good,
right.
I don't know what that means to you, Scott Telford, but
I
to me that means a lot.
Homefront. I remember the very beginning of it, but it's interesting with this though, in terms of like what this new Call of Duty brings to the table, because the thing that I love, like I said, is engagement, and I love the 2v2 mode. That's my favorite thing, like alongside TDM and domination. But I love the 2v2. I don't even think what the hell they call
gunfight.
It. Gunfight, where it's just like like everyone spawns with the same loadout. It's randomized every time, but like if you have a sniper rifle, everyone has a sniper rifle. They tell you where the enemy spawns. They have an outline, and so everyone, you know what you're up against straight away. Tiny little maps, and I love that. That's just like condensed Call of Duty in a nice little sort of package. But as much as that satisfies me, I love that they can also release a game that also has the complete opposite, this big freeform Battlefield type thing. But just the fact that they can do both well is great.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
Right. For me, all of these extra modes are the most accomplished they've ever been. Because even though Call of Duty has always been, you know, TDM, Domination, Headquarters, whatever, those core game modes, they've tried to branch out in other titles. They had, like I said, the War mode in World War II, and they've always been good, but they've always felt like a bit of an afterthought or, you know, something additive, something on top, something extra. Whereas in this game, you have those core modes, but Ground War and Gunfight, they don't feel just sort of tossed in there. Yeah, there might be fewer maps, but they're way more robust and they're way bigger and they're way more intricate, and they do facilitate another style of play that gives you just more bang for your buck and more variety. I don't, when I go and play Modern Warfare now, at least for the moment, I'm not getting bored after a few missions because I'm craving the complexity and I can find it in these other modes.
I think that's why they haven't rolled out all the modes in at once either. Like even over the weekend, they added the 20 person TDM and Domination, but that didn't start that way on Friday. But which modes have you been playing in general?
To be honest with COD, I basically just play TD and Dom.
Right.
That's more my thing. Dominic. Because like I tried out Ground War on the beta and I just thought the way that I would go about this mode and how I would play this does not fit with how everyone else plays it. Because I, you know, when I play when I play TD and Dom, I'm very much a run and gunner. I'm always running around like a headless chicken. But
with a gun.
Yeah. With with Ground War, it's more of this is the kind of thing I would take it slowly. But that doesn't always account, like, it doesn't fit within what everyone else is doing. Because the first time I jumped in, everyone just jumped in the vehicles and went, way! Drove around and started shooting everything. And it's like, oh, okay, this is how it's going to be.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, this isn't for me. If this was taken a lot more seriously, because even like War Mode in World War II, people took that quite seriously. And I think it's because it was more of a focus, like linear, like, look, this is your objective, go and do this. Whereas in War, it's just like 5-point domination. It's like capture points in Team Fortress 2.
I applaud them for doing this. I applaud them for being able to do.
Oh, obviously, totally. It's not something I'm criticizing. No. It's a definite, like, a brilliant thing that they've added in, especially for people that like Battlefield. I've never personally clicked with Battlefield, so you know, it's not really for me, but I still get my game modes that I like. Like, I can play TDM Dom, I can make my own playlist, which is the best thing, because I can turn off things like Search, which I tried out the other night, but it doesn't play like Search does back in Modern Warfare 2, which made me really sad, because everyone's like, let's go loud and try and get the first kill, rather than, I remember playing Search back in Modern Warfare 2 with my friends, and it's like, we were taking it so seriously, and the other team were taking it so seriously, and it was great, and now everyone's just like, let's kill everyone as quickly as possible.
Yeah,
let's plant the bomb for points and nothing else.
I haven't actually dove into the custom stuff yet, but I think you were saying before we came in that you can use the smaller maps.
I had a play around in private games last night because, you know, one of the things that we were really, really quite sad about in the beta was there was no means of doing gunfight privately, which really sucked. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was having a play around and it kind of reminds me of Black Ops 1 where you can make your own game modes almost, but you get so much play. Mm. You can get the, I think it's 5 gunfighter maps they have. Something like that, 4 or 5 of them. Take those and you can do anything on them.
Brilliant.
Whether they have any set spawns for things like domination and search or demolition. Is demolition even in?
I don't think it is.
But like, I don't know whether you can do that, but I went on to the outdoor like firing range map. I can't remember if it's the stack it's called or something.
Yeah.
And I just played like a 4-person free-for-all. I was running around with a Kar98 with a red dot sight.
I wanted to
having a bit of fun, really, just trying out. But it's like you get this massive freedom, which means we can go onto the Gulag shower block and do snipers only with thermals.
God, snipe them! That would
we
be
could
ju-
we can
bad.
Just we can just do that and make and have a complete mess around. We need to do that, but like,
yes.
Yeah, it looks like again the flexibility that you would expect within private matches is still there. All the attachments, all the weapons are completely unlocked. So you can make whatever you want and have just a great time doing it.
I'm a ginormous fan. So I've written down maps as well, because like some of the maps, like I said, have kind of got like controversy around them. I know Josh is ranking them right now.
I am right now.
Video version at some point.
Ooh.
so I've like highlighted some of these. The biggest one that people seem to not be able to decide whether they love it or hate it is Euphrates Bridge, which is the one that has the big massive bridge in the middle.
Yeah.
They have the spawn points on either side of it. And one of the, if you play domination, one of the points to take is the very middle of the bridge, which is already elevated in the first place.
Reminds me of there was a map in World War II which had like a big cannon that was being transported by rail, and that was slap bang in the middle of the map, and they had the flag on top of that. Reminds me of that. Uh-huh. Sorry, moving
on. No, like I did similar in terms of like the approach to it, because the reason I think a lot of people hate it is that everyone says that like whoever takes that middle point then dominates the rest of the match. I can personally say that that's not the case, because me and a bunch of friends took it back and it was amazing.
I don't mean to sound like an old man who's played this game for a long time. It's like, have you ever played domination in your life?
Yeah, exactly.
The like, B flag is always an absolute bastard. That's why it's called, that's why it's the B flag. Yeah. It's a bastard flag. it's always in a really horrible spot. There is not a map in this game that doesn't have B, or in any Call of Duty game that doesn't have B in a horrible middle, like slap bang middle of the map, massive choke point. That is always the flag that turns the tide of the game. So
I get it
completely, because like I said, it's similar to the map in World War II, although that one had a much more sort of enclosed and smaller space around the B flag. But my personal experience with that map is like the first map I think I played the full release multiplayer, and I had a bloody great time.
Well, it's weird, because I think it encourages you to double down on the pace that they're setting, and once everything clicks and you realize how you're supposed to move through these maps and how much you're supposed to balance running and gunning and potentially holding out and moving slower or whatever, when I finally methodically kill by kill, smoke grenades and whatever, took back the bridge, like, you know, kill like bit by bit, that felt amazing, and that felt completely purposeful and everything that they're playing towards. You know, and you can apply that sort of methodology to all the other maps as well. But that's the thing. I think that a lot of the criticisms around that map come from trying to run and gun it, or trying to just sprint in from both sides.
Yeah, if you're gonna run straight up the stairs onto the bridge and think, yes, let's do this, you're not gonna get very far. Like, there was a point, I will admit, when I ended up on the bridge, but I'd come up the stairs on the enemy side, and they were getting pinned off the other side, and I could literally just look down the bridge and just pick people off as they came up the stairs, because everyone just kept running at me, and it's like, sure,
I think because
that's what happens. No one's throwing a cautionary grenade up. I'm mega like, I always go for the perks, give me extra flashes and extra frags, so I can have the ability to be able to like get the lie of the land on an area by throwing a grenade up there. No one was doing that. Everyone was just running straight in. It's like, well, if that's how you're gonna do it, then that's what's gonna happen. It's like the guy who camps on the stairs with a shotgun. If you keep running in expecting to kill him by literally just running in through the front door and getting lucky, you're gonna keep dying, and that's your fault.
I think because we're within like that initial launch window, like obviously there's a lot of teething problems. There's a lot of people getting used to which strategies work per map, and I think that's obviously resulted in a lot of people saying, oh God, I don't like this, because it does directly challenge the way that you play Call of Duty, or maybe the way that you have done in the previous previous installments. Another one is, Josh, what do you think of Euphrates Bridge?
Right, I've been quite because I know you guys, and it's not the bottom, but it's quite far down the bottom. Because even though, Rich, you kind of summed it up there, there are a lot of people who just run into that bridge. And if you're on that team with the people who just run into the bridge, you're going to have a miserable time on this map.
That's not the map's fault.
It's not the map's. Well, it kind of is, but also isn't. You know, it's a mix of both.
It's a choke point. It's a design decision.
Yeah, that's it. And I have had good games on there when things have been more balanced. But if you get on a crappy team and you're just pinned down, it's not fun, because it's good to sort of hang back, and, you know, whip out a sniper or whatever and start getting quite a lot of kills and covering those flanks. It just doesn't make for me for interesting sort of gameplay. Mm. When that happens and I'm on a bad team, I just sort of accept defeat and just look at the timer and think, right, I'm going to sit at the back. I want to get a lot of kills, but I'm not going to have any fun doing it out of spite, Call of Duty.
I know what you mean.
But there are moments when, you know, you do take the bridge back and that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Just, I feel like the map itself, it could be good, just it's a bit one note for me. Like, the best part of it is storming that bridge and fighting over the bridge, and that can be cool. Mm-hmm. Just, I think the other maps around it have a bit more going for them, a bit more variety. So it's not
like a multiplayer set piece.
It's just down the... Yeah, it is. That's what it feels like. But once I played that five times, I don't know if I want it anymore.
I see what you mean. I think, like I said, I think that because it does exemplify what they're going for in terms of the overall way that you play this versus the older, the last few cards or whatever, I love it for that. But I can totally see the fact that it is, like you said, kind of potentially one note.
Again, though, this sets it apart from something like Black Ops 4. The bad maps in there, I hated outright. Yes. I couldn't see any potential for them to even be good. Whereas with this and Piccadilly, which I have a bone to pick with,
I can see
the potential for them. I can see why... In the scenarios where they could be good, and how if things are changed or things are tweaked, they could be really good maps. They're still memorable. I've had good times on them, so there is the potential for them to get better in the not complete write offs like some of the Black Ops 4.
So let's talk about Piccadilly, because that was the one before we came in that you wanted to talk about.
It sucks.
It
Scott
does not
Telford.
Suck, JB.
It absolutely
it's
sucks.
Good.
No, it's visually interesting. The idea of it being London, you've got the big, hologram things, the advertisements have been thrown off there. You've got the buses in the middle. You've got the big circular sort of flow of it. That's interesting. The fact that, you know, it's sort of built around this kind of wide perimeter rather than just running into the middle where you can't do that is interesting. But the problem is you get pushed back to the north of it and the spawns don't switch. So you're just stuck there in this one sort of street, which is fun. It's quite cool having like a wall of attrition try to escape. But again, it's one of those things where once you've done it a couple of times, it's just sort of like, come on, switch the spawns.
It's the inherent fear of, oh, we're on Piccadilly. Am I going to get spawn trapped
in
this game?
Yeah.
The thing is, my personal problem with Piccadilly is I can't bloody see anything.
That's me in the whole campaign.
It's really bad. It's like I feel like I'm running around and getting shot from like literally nowhere. It's like I literally can't see you. Like the color scheme, how bright and vibrant it is. It's like there's a part of me that just thinks, why can't I actually see anyone? I can't see a thing.
I've seen people point to the lack of muzzle flashes as well. Like that it's very hard to pin people down based on muzzle flashes.
Yeah,
they're not as pronounced or they're not as big or whatever.
It just generally Piccadilly, like I just can't seem to spot anyone. It's very rare that I seem to manage to find people. I played Domination on that most of the time when I was on that map. Mm-hmm. So I had a rough idea, like somebody's taking this. Okay, I know where people are. Mm-hmm. Playing TD on it, it's like I just don't have a clue.
Mm.
Like you've got your UAV and everything and your compass at the top, which I think is a fantastic addition.
Mm-hmm.
But like generally that map it's still kind of throwing me. I need to get some more time into it, but I think I need to get used to the aesthetics and know what to look for, because all the other maps are much more like subdued, whereas this is almost like the casino night zone of Call of Duty maps. It's so bright and it's like, whoa!
The thing that I really like about it is if you're playing with headphones on, which you always should be, is the amount of little ticks and sound effects that they put in each of the shops so that you can hear when someone triggers one of the security alarms or one of the security checks.
It's really good.
Yeah, I'll give you that. There was one point, I think it's, you know, bottom right hand store where you've got like the metal detector thing. I'm not sure if it's in every store, but I was upstairs in there and I heard it go off and I just sort of suddenly turned around and was like waiting for this guy to come up the stairs, so scared. And that was cool. Like those audio cues are awesome. And I've never really played a Call of Duty with headphones before.
That might be ridiculous,
but Call of Duty. And you know what? I've always done pretty well for myself. Maybe I could be better, but I've always done all right. But I'm all right. Honestly, ask him. Call of Duty multiplayer has always been my sort of put some music on and just have a good time. Whereas this,
I'm with you on that.
I'm like, no, this is a headphone game. I need to listen out for these loud as hell footsteps so I know where people are because I can't see crap.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good.
Also, in terms of like you said about getting like spawn trapped, I haven't experienced that. But now that I think about it, I thought that the spawns were rotating based on the mode. Like if you did TDM, it peppers you around the whole map.
Well,
it's not always the same street.
In Piccadilly, it is.
Right,
I don't know how you didn't pick up on this, Scott. Because we were in a game the other night, well, last night, where we were just stuck at the back for ages and we couldn't get out. So when I mentioned it this morning, you were like, "What?
What are you talking about, man?"
Scott, you were in the same game as me. You were stuck at the back with
Chances are, I was eating Doritos and donuts, so
probably.
I don't know if I. mind and understood that criticism. But yeah, I really like Piccadilly in terms of the amount of options you have for delving into the different shops. Some of them connect to each other. Some of the walls have been blown out. So you can. I've always found that even if someone's bearing down on you, you can get round the sides and get the flank on them again. I like the whole thing in the middle, that weird little cluster of buses that's like a like an S shape of like playing the angles game. You can kind of like take everyone on from there, make a last stand in there, even though you don't need to. So another one is the Izzia Cave. We mentioned that before with like the whole left-hand side of the map is the cave system.
I loved that map in the beta. It's weird. I've still not actually been on it in the full release. I've still not had it in my rotation. I just played a lot of it during the beta. It reminds me of, it's like a good Afghan from Modern Warfare 2.
Right. Yeah.
Which had, no. Yeah, sorry. It is like Afghan. It's like a mix of Afghan and Wasteland.
Yeah, it is a bit Wasteland.
It feels like a mix of those two. And I think for me, as you were saying about when you learn the map and you can think, okay, I know people are here, there's flank routes. There's that well.
Yeah, you can get the drop on so many people that way.
No one uses it. Nobody used it. So it would always be my secret way in.
Yeah,
I can skulk around the back of the caves and go around that way. But yeah, Azir Cave is probably one of my favourites, I think. Mm-hmm. Even though, like I said, I've still not been back on it on the full release, but it's one that stuck with me much.
It has such a massive long sight line. Like, you can see all the way down it and all the way back up again. And it's like, it obviously kind of plays into this whole sniper thing. Like, it can be cheap, but you can also learn that and weaponise it as
That's it. It's one of those cool things where that cave is at once both so open and
massive risk.
You can move around it. Like, you can see someone towards the other end, but also if you're smart, you can maneuver around so they don't see you, then you get the drop on them. It's so cool. I love how it accommodates both those long range sort of attacks as well as like close quarters. You can run around that map with the sort of a big scope on an M4 as well as a red dot sight on an MP5 or a P90 and just have a good time. Mm-hmm. And that well, why does no one use the well? I've been down
Don't
that
say
little
that
cave.
Long,
I know, everyone's
going
to start doing it. But every single time I've gone down that well, no one else has been there. And I'm like,
I'm always,
why
always,
is it not
always on edge waiting for somebody to be there. But like, yeah, no one ever uses it.
I've gone down and I've had players facing the other way. So I just like left, right and shot both of them. And the last one I was going to spotlight in terms of the maps is St. Petrograd, which is their take on St. Petersburg. But that's the one that I feel
Sorry,
like
getting the name wrong.
It is meant to be, but it's St. Petersburg in the campaign, but it's St. Petrograd online.
Yeah,
whatever. But that whole thing, that's the one where it feels the most like a battlefield map, where I felt like it does have a whole bunch of like inroads and stuff. Like, you were mentioning that before about being able to flank that guy with the shotgun on the stairs. But I also feel like it's just a little bit, it hasn't clicked with me. If I was going to point to one map that I just don't like being on, it would be St. Petrograd. But you're a fan, I think, Josh, overall.
Yeah, I quite like it. It's probably like middle tier for me. I think it's interesting. I like, again, sort of going into those buildings on the right and kind of like clearing them out. There's a cool bit towards the back left, I think, where you can get out of a window and sort of jump around the small, I think it's like a garage or something, which I think is quite cool.
Yeah, I
like
to chase Scott there.
I was just saying, there's a bunch of rooftops where Rich was hanging out.
That's when I took out that guy with the shotgun. I sort of picked it up and went right, and I saw this was at the point like you got kicked for being inactive.
Yeah,
and
I don't know why.
And you came back in, and then there was a point when I like headshot a guy, and it was like, oh, that was Scott.
Yeah.
So, and then at one point I was like running back towards their spawn with this like with the 12 gauge. I picked him off this guy who's just sitting on a stairwell, and there's like, oh, there's Scott, and I'm like, there's a guy, like other guy shooting me. It's like, guy, shut up, I don't care about you, I'm chasing after Scott, I'm gonna jump on the
exploring
roof,
exploring the rooftops. Oh, you get this connected. Oh, shot in the face. Good. Good.
Me just stood in front of him like, wait.
Hello?
Even though you sort of compared it to a Battlefield game.
Well, Battlefield 5 has a very similar map in terms of the St. Petersburg.
Yes. Yes, it does. But for me, this is sort of, it's kind of maybe too simplistic. I do feel like I'm either running on the left-hand side or the right-hand side to get to the back, to go back and do
big
it again.
Tram line in the middle.
Yeah, round the trams.
It is quite exciting, like darting between the trams, waiting, because that's where I'm mounting and stuff. Just hopping around the trams, waiting to see somebody. Like, that is quite exciting. But normally the trams, I think people are just afraid of that area. No one ever, I don't ever seem to find anyone there. Everyone's sticking to the buildings.
It's
instead.
Like the cave. It's like, it's got such a massive sight line that like if you're anywhere on that main bit, you're going to get picked off kind of thing.
I think it works for sort of headquarters. I really liked playing that map on that game mode, but team deathmatch, I can take or leave it.
I think, and we might as well end just talking about something, because we'll probably do another podcast on this, because it's such obviously a massive release for the end of the game, end of the year. But we mentioned Spec Ops before. We haven't done that much on that yet, but it does continue off from where the story ends.
Supposedly. I'm not sure how.
In like a really like weird tertiary way.
I think it's just like a, oh, look, this takes place after the campaign. Cool.
Yeah.
Like, you're not playing as the characters, you're still playing as your multi to play a special, mm-hmm. not specialist, what are they called? Operators?
Yeah, you're operators.
Which are just like cosmetic, aren't they? Mm-hmm.
But you were, you wanted to return to Spec Ops before you mentioned it, if just in terms of like the difficulty and stuff.
Yeah, because the Spec Ops has been split into two, or mm-hmm. three if you got it on PS4. Oh. Thanks, oh. Activision, mm. Sony.
We did.
God.
Well, Josh did.
Yeah, I know you did. the one bit that's like zombies, I'm not going to get till next October. you've got the classic Spec Ops, which is obviously just here's your missions, go and do this again, and literally there's only one so far, which is, I think it's just called like Survival, not Survival, because that's the name of the mode we've got locked off, but it's just like, hey, here's this bit from the campaign you did that's actually quite cool.
Right.
Here's this bit, just do it again. It's a lot harder.
It's the sniper mission.
Yeah, it's the sniper mission.
Which is very
just,
like
just
down.
Without the whole sniper bit at the beginning. It's just like, oh look, everyone's coming, quick, defend yourself. And it's like, ah, and it's really hard because I jumped in with just one of my friends, it's just the two of us, and we were getting ruined on it. Like, it's really tough. And then we eventually went online because you can't do the bigger open world, in inverted commas, open world maps that they say, I think it's more like a ground war sized map. Mm-hmm. With just the four of you on it. And I just go, okay, go and do this, that, and the other. So what the one we did was the first one in the list, which was like, go and kill this, or go and kill these two generals.
Right.
Download their data off their USB sticks they dropped. Cool. Do it again. Cool. Do it again. Yeah. Cool. Right, go to this stadium and you need to go into the server room and upload some stuff. Oh, look, they're using dial-up. It's really slow. Also, why do they keep server rooms outside? But the problem with it is, like, that's fine. You get your vehicles to move around on. You can choose your class going in. You can find little boxes that give you kill streaks or ammo boxes to throw down, stuff like that. It's very cool. The only problem with it is there's no direction as to what's actually happening with your enemy AI.
Right.
It is all over the place. Because they just go, right, here's the direction you need to go in. And you think, okay, there's going to be dudes there. They're going to be shooting back at us as we're going towards them. And that is the case to begin with. When you get to the servers and the stadiums bit, it's like, cool. Now they're spawning all around you in no given direction and you're being shot from every side. It's a big open space. There's nowhere to hide.
Right.
There is nothing you can do. So, like, you can choose a class to come in with a special ability, and basically, we all chose the medic because their ability is to revive everyone in one go from wherever. Because if three people go down, it's like, well, click, and then everyone's up again. But it's like, that's literally the only thing that works because you're being shot from every side, and it just feels so. It's very, very unbalanced. It is really hard.
That's what I've read.
It is really, really hard. We managed to get so far through once before because it was me and my friend, and then two randoms who we didn't have on voice chats. And we were like, right, we're going this way. And there's these guys like running away over there. So we're like, guys, come over here, please. And at one point, it was like, oh, here's six tanks. Here's an AC or a VTOL that has got like a pube's worth of fuel in it. And it's like, here's an RPG-7 with one rocket. And it's like, take down seven tanks and the whole infantry. And it's like, there's four of us.
Yeah.
It's and then we tried another one that was like, okay, stealthy way into this airport. First guy runs in. And then it's like, oh, there's a juggernaut they've spawned right at the start of this mission. It's really hard. I think it's going to require a lot of work. Conceptually, it's really cool, and I would like to try it with four people to actually have a team that can sit, we can communicate, we can work out how to go about it, because then that's how they're, you know, it's spec ops, it's meant to be done down to a T, but doing it with randoms was an absolute pain.
It sounds like it's like their sort of like it is like kind of their horde mode, their like raid mode or whatever.
Yeah, kind of. Obviously, they have got a proper survival mode, which is the thing that they've locked off from non-PS4 players, which sucks.
We'll give it a go.
Sucks for me on crossplay, doesn't it?
Can't join.
But like the actual concept of this open world spec ops, because there's like five or six of those bigger missions, which I'm really keen to try. But I think we just need to get our head around it a bit more, and also they may have to look into how it works, because they just keep spawning enemies on you, but it's not like wave after wave, it just goes. You just get the voiceover go, there's more enemies on the way, and you go, oh good, I've moved 3 feet. Let's stop and plant again, and let's just try and you run out of ammo so quickly, and they're literally carrying a gun with like a mag's worth, and you think, well, good, this is gonna go down well.
Okay.
But
it seems like potentially like a step forward, like a step in a certain direction that has a lot of potential, but they haven't really nailed it yet.
Yeah, it's like it's not necessarily Spec Ops as you remember. The Spec Ops bit that you remember is one mission, which also has a reward if you complete it, which says available in November.
Oh.
So obviously whatever's coming up with the whole gun. With the whole no loot boxes at all, that's apparently going to be, I'm guessing, to do with Spec Ops or whatever the rewards will be for that. It'll be some loot and
it'll
some
be a
charms
blueprint.
And
it'll just
crap,
be another weapon blueprint thing, because it can get around it with a different tone.
At the end of the day, like, I think the overall thing that I would like to say about Modern Warfare is the fact that I can play with you guys is the best.
It is.
It's the best.
We had a lovely time.
Scott messed messaging me last night when we were playing, and you were like, hang on, Rich is coming on. And yeah. I was thinking, how? But Rich has a PC. This does not compute.
He's an outsider.
He's an outsider. And it was so cool and awesome. And I liked
Once
it a lot.
Once the three of us and you and we're all walking in one big line, I took a nice little screen grab. That was the first time
ever
that happened. Yeah, the squad finally coming together. But yeah, let's know what you think down in the comments below if you're following along on the video side of things as to what you think of Modern Warfare's soft reboot reimagining type thing. Or can find us on social media if you're listening along on the audio platforms. For now, though, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com. This has been the WhatCulture Gaming Podcast. It's the ending I have forgotten, but I'm going to keep going. Joined by Rich Hudson.
Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you on the, not the battlefield. We'll see. Will you accept the call of duty?
And the Titanfall. And Josh Brown.
Goodbye. We're going dark.
No, he's done it. He's done it. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.